Members of Congress are wrapping up their business for the year. They're still working on a big spending bill for next year, and there's a lot of horse trading going on behind closed doors.
They're also bracing for the final report of the January 6th committee next week, and on immigration, a policy that's kept asylum seekers out of the country is set to expire. Let's start there with our Friday politics roundtable. Tolu Onorunipa is Washington Post White House Bureau Chief. Hi, Tolu.
Hi, good to be here.
And Domenico Montanaro is NPR Senior Political Editor and Correspondent. Hey, Domenico.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Domenico, Title 42, the Trump-era immigration policy that has allowed the government to deny migrants asylum during the pandemic, set to expire next week. There are a huge number of migrants at the border right now. What's expected to happen, and how much pressure is President Biden under here?
Well, it's a ton of pressure because Title 42 is something that had been used during the COVID pandemic and during the Trump administration. And it was a way that they were able to kind of keep migrants out of the United States. But what you've seen now is a big surge during the Biden administration, a lot more people coming to the country. The Biden administration having wanted to get rid of Title 42, but that's sort of hung up in the courts. And they're also having to deal with the political fallout of the fact that you have so many more migrants coming into the country, the system being overrun. And it's a thing we've been talking about for more than a decade. You know, I covered the 2013 comprehensive immigration overhaul negotiations, and there were 68 senators who voted for that. It didn't pass the House. And we've been sort of stuck in this patchwork Band-Aid, system ever since. You know, courts are overrun. The borders are. There's a lot of complaints all around, and it's being used as political football.
The Biden administration does say it has a plan for the end of Title 42, including having more temporary housing available, doubling the money it takes to take migrants to less crowded shelters. They call that decompression. But El Paso Deputy City Manager Mario D'Agostino told ABC News he's concerned.
If they're talking about more flights, more decompression, I think it needs to come with some policy changes. I don't think we can decompress along the border if the entire border is going to see this surge.
So, Tolu, can you tell us more about how the Biden administration is preparing for this and whether they're in communication with city leaders like those in El Paso?
Well, Biden administration officials say that they are in communication with local leaders. They say they are also in communication with members of Congress, and they've been pushing since the very beginning of this administration to try to get Congress on board with this broader overhaul of the immigration system, something that would allow them to deal with the fact that there are millions of people who are already here who are undocumented and who are seeking a path to citizenship, as well as to deal with the border and the fact that people are continuing to come across the border, and there are local communities that are asking for more resources to try to shore up their local communities and try to prevent a larger number of people coming across the border, fleeing all kinds of different trauma and troubles in different countries, including south of the border. And so the Biden administration says that they need Congress on board to make some of the changes that they want to make, to invest in some of the border security measures that they support. Now, members of Congress on the Republican side say they do want to support border security, but they don't agree with the broader Biden administration approach to immigration. And so we've been at this stalemate where we haven't been able to get both sides together. And as Domenico said, this has been something that's been going on for several years. And then now with Republicans getting ready to take control of the House, it doesn't appear that we're any closer to any kind of resolution on this.
Stay on that thought a moment, Tolu. What solutions are Republicans coming up with now that they will be taking the House?
Well, Kevin McCarthy, who is trying to become the House Speaker, the Republican leader in the House, said that after he met with President Biden a couple of weeks ago, that he invited Biden to come to the border. He says that's the first step, that the president needs to visit the border and spend some time there seeing the challenges that local border communities are facing. And now they say on the Republican side that everything needs to be focused on border security, putting more money towards border security, pushing some of the policies that former President Trump pushed, including building a wall and expelling migrants as soon as they come across the border, changing the law to make it much harder for people to claim asylum, as many migrants are doing after they come across the border. And so we have seen from the Republican side very much of a focus on enforcement and not so much a focus on legalization or allowing people who have been here for years to get their papers right and to get citizenship over time. And so that's where there's been that sticking point. Republicans, for the most part, want to focus all on enforcement and shutting down the border to a certain extent, and then maybe later dealing with things like legalization and dealing with undocumented immigrants who have been here for a long time. And so that's why it's been hard to get any kind of agreement between Democrats and Republicans, because their focuses are so different at this point.
And reaching a compromise, it could be more difficult, even more difficult. Earlier this month, we heard that then-Democrat Kyrsten Sinema and Republican Tom Tillis might have reached a compromise on immigration that would have extended Title 42 for another year. It failed this week. And Domenico, NPR came out with a poll that speaks to this particular problem and this moment. Can you tell me about what this poll told us on compromise?
Yeah, you know, for the highest point in a decade, actually, 74%, three-quarters of people said that they want compromise. But 58% said that they have no confidence that members of Congress will compromise. And I think for those of us who've covered this a while, it's really significant to see that back in 2008, when this question was asked, only 23% of people said that they had no confidence that people could reach across the aisle and work together, because that's a huge shift. And, you know, through the Tea Party, through the rancor that we've seen, through the ideological cohesiveness, the retreating to different corners, the decline of swing districts throughout the country, you've seen that the incentives really aren't for compromise. I mean, remember when John Boehner, when he was speaker, said that for many members of his conference, that compromise was a dirty word, yeah, and he preferred to use common ground. Now, this past Congress actually did find a lot of common ground, or compromise, whichever you want to use. And, you know, President Biden has tried to use that to say, this is why he ran. Part of it is to get a lot of these kinds of things done, even if it means having to work with Republicans. It's going to really be tested starting in January with a Republican House.
And you know, this week, 22 Senate Republicans and 9 House Republicans joined Democrats in passing a one-week spending bill so they can try to get a deal on a bigger spending plan for next year. Here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer yesterday.
No drama, no gridlock, no government shutdown this week.
But very little is known about what's in the bigger spending plan. Tolu, how do you see this playing out over the coming week?
The key word from Senator Schumer there was drama. And one of the reasons they've been able to limit the amount of drama is because House Republicans have largely been cut out of this process. They are preparing and hoping to take over the gavel, and House Minority Leader, soon to be House Majority Leader, potentially House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has been calling for lawmakers to wait until January, wait until Republicans in the House have a certain amount of power before passing a major spending bill. And obviously, Democrats want to use the power that they have now to pass a major spending bill to be able to get some of President Biden's priorities, some of Democrats' priorities into the spending bill without having to accommodate some of the spending cuts and other priorities that House Republicans want. And so there is a rush to get this done before power changes hands in Washington, and that may allow President Biden to put off the likelihood of drama over spending bills and over potential government shutdowns deep into next year, as opposed to having it be one of the first things that comes across his plate in January. But it is a difficult situation where you could be building up some resentment among the House Republicans, who have been chomping at the bit to get some power and to flex their power, especially when it comes to spending and trying to bring about spending cuts and reduction to the amount of money that's spent by Washington, something they say has caused inflation to spike over the last couple of years. So this may be a case of, you know, winning the battle, but the war is going to continue, especially after power changes hands in Washington in just a matter of weeks.
I feel like every end of Congress, there's this drama that plays out in the days leading up to Christmas. There always seems to be some final negotiating on pretty big plans. I think that the key phrase in what Senator Schumer said there was this week. There's no shutdown this week, but who knows what next week brings. Yeah, Democrats want to go a year. Republicans, like Tolu said, want that leverage to be able to negotiate and only have something starting in January.
So, Domenico, let me jump in here because I want to get one question in about the final meeting of the House January 6th committee, which will happen on Monday. Mm-hmm. Members will release that final report. They'll also vote on criminal referrals against former President Trump. We have less than a minute here, but can you tell us what we can expect?
Well, the big thing here is that the committee is running out of time and they want to get out their report. There's been some internal drama about how much to focus on former President Trump or not. And, you know, that's what we're going to really start to see. We want to see what the real report is. We'll see that probably on Wednesday. And seeing what's in that will tell us what have they found through all of this and how does that play with the public.
That's Domenico Montanaro, NPR's senior political editor and correspondent. And also Tolu Olorunwipa is Washington Post White House bureau chief. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you so much.